Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to All Stats Aren't We, a podcast in which Leeds fans cast their combined eye over goings-on at Elland Road, giving scrutiny to the underlying statistics and tactical footings at work at Leeds United. I'm Tom Alton, and I'm joined today by Tom Hostey-Cundell and Martin Riley. Martin, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to have you back on the pod. We've not had you since before Christmas. How are you doing, more importantly? How's Christmas?
Yeah, it was good, thank you. We're rather uneventful, but yeah, I think this is my first pod in probably over a month. I did the commentary interview before Christmas, and that interview was so long that I decided I needed a month off afterwards. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I've actually been quite good at watching games for a change, rather than sort of part-time in it as I did as parts earlier in the season. So yeah, looking forward to talk about Leeds again with you guys. Hostey, what about you? How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I've just had a kind of like spicy chicken arrabbiata sort of thing with pasta for tea, and so feeling nicely fueled. Yeah, looking forward to getting into it. I've not done a preview for a long, long time. I don't think since Huddersfield Town at home. The last preview I did the interview for that basically. And then rest I've just reviewed, because basically through November and December, like you just said, Toldo, I was very bad at watching games. So I was just kind of like, if I can watch one, then I'll review it, but I don't feel comfortable previewing.
What have you been eating then, Martin? Go on, let the fans know what they're waiting for.
Well, yeah, that's the main thing, really. That's what we're here to talk about. I had some Mexican-style chicken wraps with a load of salad. It was quite healthy, because me and the missus are kind of on a bit of a health kick. The missus more than me. But yeah, it was tasty though. It was lots of nice chicken, and not plain old chicken. I had some nice spicy sauce on there as well. So yeah, it was a nice meal. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I had meatballs with pasta. Very, very simple for tea, but very nice. They were like homemade meatballs, so it was
nice.
Good.
Oh, nice.
On the running order, we've got no news, but I did see on Twitter before Diego Llorente is linked with PSG, so that has to be news, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's not the news that I was talking about.
Oh, no, they're not.
I was talking about Kunta Mezikov has joined Lincoln City Red Imps. For those of you who don't know who that is Gibraltar's best football team.
I do know of both Kunta Mezikov and Lincoln Red Imps. I have heard of them. It's quite a hilarious bit of transfer news, but I think it's more person to lead about Diego. And potentially...
Yes, yeah.
If you say so, yeah.
That's been linked to by a decent... reputable source as well, right? Quip, yeah. I think it was.
L'Equipe, but yeah.
L'Equipe. Whether you pronounce it, I will take your word for it. I'm no good at pronunciation.
I'm happy to call it L'Equipe for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I won't be able to unhear that now.
kind of like Cool Whip.
Yeah. It is. I'll take that on the chin. I deserve mockery for that.
But fair play to his agent, that is failing upwards. Like, you go from Leeds, you play bad. There's no getting around it. You go to Roma, you play all right there. I don't know.
I think he played bad at the start as well, didn't he? I think he was getting hooked after like 17 minutes by Mourinho.
Yeah, and then you end up at PSG. So fair play to him. At least he's lived in some great cities there as well.
He has. Leeds are best one, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
I think the other news is, I think with the links to some centre-backs today, that maybe Strouk's injury is a bit worse than we feared. Has anyone else seen anything on that?
I know that we were linked with Chris Meppen, but I'm just assuming that there's some agent or source out there that's going Leeds to try and assign every Welsh player in that's in the Championship or Premier League. So I'm kind of taking them with a pinch of salt right now.
Me too.
I mean, Coop was on the bench against Peterborough, wasn't he? So if it's not the end, it's like a couple of weeks ago, that might have been an issue, but at least we've got someone to come in if we need them.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first podcast since the Peterborough game as well, so I don't know how we can't talk about Patrick Bamford's goal. Like, how is that not top of the news?
Someone hasn't listened to the bonus pod.
Well, this is not a Patreon pod, is it? For the break, okay, well, give us a quick summary then of your guys' thoughts for people that aren't Patreon listeners and like people like me who haven't listened to that podcast yet.
We just basically said that it was fantastic and everyone should watch it 1,000 times.
Fair enough. Good summary. I'm happy to move on.
Yeah, I would say it's possibly the best Leeds goal for a long time. I think it probably surpasses Dukara's goal. I was in two minds whether to put Dukara a little bit ahead of it due to the sheer violence of Dukara's strike.
Yeah. But
just look, the more I've watched Bamford's goal and the other angle which came out, the one from...
That one from like the Leeds goal end is like, actually makes it better somehow.
Yeah, like, the fact of like the height that he gets in the jump to control it, which obviously completely throws off the defender, and he doesn't even look at the goal ever. He just hits it, and that for me is like what makes it incredible, is that he's just like jumped about a foot in the air, controlled it on his chest, and then just turned, no bounce, and just gone, yeah. Basically, Dan would ask if I could swear. He'd ask if he could swear, but he just thought, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
I think it was, wasn't there somewhere for like an interview afterwards that he didn't realise until after he'd shot that the defender had slipped. So like he was just like, oh, I probably should have just taken the ball, put down and gone through a goal, but it's all right, it works out in the end, didn't it? No, I think that's probably the best Leeds goal I can think of in my time supporting Leeds. The Dukara, I was actually there for the Dukara one, so maybe I like that one.
Bradley Johnson's one against Arsenal in the FA Cup we lost 3-1 was pretty good. The best thing about that one that I remember is that I looked in the south stand first before realising that it had actually gone into the net. So.
Surprising. Yeah, that was good. Also, Ayling's volley is up there as well. The Huddersfield one. That was good. But I still think Bamford surpasses all of them. I think the only ones which come close of the lead goals I've seen is the Tony Yeboah goals from back in the day. Those are the only ones that I can think of which surpass that, because it's just the technique to hit it first time, the way he catches it, just the curve of the ball as it goes into the far corner is just beautiful. It's just great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go away and watch that another 1,000 times now after talking about it. Let's It'll move on to joy. The... Oh, it does, don't you worry. Let's move on to talking about the game at the weekend then. So we're here today to talk about the upcoming fixture against Cardiff City, who we played on the first game of the season, so which feels like a long time ago now. So let's start with the opposition analysis as usual. So, Martin, do you want to take us through their recent results and form and just let us know if anything's changed recently in the world of Cardiff City?
Yeah, well, looking at the recent fixtures, it's a bit of a mixed bag. In the past 10 games, they've had 4 wins, 5 draws, and also 5 losses even, and 1 draw. Very mixed results. 1 win followed by 2 losses, 1 win followed by 2 losses, then a win, draw, loss, win. So yeah, they're a bit all over the place when it comes to fixtures.
Yeah, one thing to take of note of that is that 3 of those wins have come away from home, and obviously they were at Elland Road this weekend, are we?
Yes. No, we were. It's the first game of the season with Elland Road, it's away.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They've only got 1 of those wins in the last 10 at home. That shows, but they've also got a draw, but yeah, I guess maybe their home form isn't working out for them at the moment.
Yeah, and we're great away, so that should just be fine. No problems.
Yeah,
end the podcast.
Absolutely no issues, yeah.
Martin, do you want to talk to us about their in-possession play then?
Yeah, so what I saw, the game that I watched was the most recent one against QPR, and they've set up in a 4-3-3 system, and there's kind of a mix between direct play and in-possession build-up from the game I saw. I mean, there were times when they were trying to pass it along the ground and get the ball through the flanks that way. But then there was also other times where they'd be impressed a bit by QPR, where they were comfortable enough to go along and try to get the ball to the big guys up front, because they have a couple of big guys who've been playing recently up front, including a 6'6" target man called Etete, who is a terrifying prospect, but some data we'll go through a bit later on. But yes, they're mainly a team would like to get the ball to the flanks and put in crosses with that big guy in mind to try to get there quickly. But I think they are very capable of playing a few different ways and quite changeable in the way their style looks. I didn't see anything which really impressed me in the game I watched, but it's hard to impress with some of the players. They're not that great in deeper areas, I think. So I think he's done quite a good well as the new manager, Bulut, in getting a decent style out of Mali, trying to make them possess the ball when they are capable. Because they have some games where they have 60% possession, then other games where they have 30% possession. So it's highly changeable depending on the opposition who they play. So I would expect them to be relatively direct against us. I wouldn't expect them to try to do too much with the ball, because when they were pressed by QPR, they did look quite shaky when they were pressed. So that would explain why they decided to go long instead. So yeah, that's what I would expect against us specifically. I wasn't able to find a game which would be a good parallel against us. I wanted to get their game against Leicester, but I couldn't find that. It's one of their more recent games as well, which would have been good, but I couldn't find a full 90 of it. But they did lose quite handily against Leicester. They put up 0.4 XG and Leicester put up 1.7 and lost 2-0. So pretty convincing win by Leicester. And Leicester style is probably a bit more possession focused than us. But they were able to get the job done. Let's hope that we can do the same.
Yeah, I remember when the first game of the season, when we had nothing to go on Cardiff, that me and you spent our Saturday nights watching Erbil's Turkish teams. And we said, his Cardiff team are missing a big lump up front, so it's great for them to know that they've got that now, and can look forward to seeing him on Saturday. I think from what little I've seen of Cardiff, I think they're quite opposition dependent in the way they set up. I don't know if it's just a lack of quality, which means they can't like impose themselves on a team, or Bullock's just like, well, I'll try this for this game and try this for this game. But yeah, I think it's difficult to say what exactly it is that they're going to do against us. With that, like you said, that seeing that Leicester game or the Southampton game a few weeks ago would have been a good marker to see how they approach that one, or if they were just ran over in that one. What about the out of possession stuff then, Martin?
Well, against QPR, they were relatively aggressive in their press. They had the 4-3-3 changed into more of a... It looked like a 4-2-4 when they were pressing high. They would have four men in the opposition half pressing relatively high. And one of the men who would join the forward line would be one of the midfielders. I think it was Hundel. Wintle. I knew it was close. I knew it had the tull at the end. Wintle, that's it. So Ryan Wintle would join up in the press alongside Etete and stood sort of sticking in the centre when the opposition had the ball in the centre and press when it went to the flanks. So it was the trigger is when it gets to the fullbacks, they would press and try to win the ball, or if there's any loose touches. So I thought, yeah, it was a relatively aggressive press. But then when I looked at some of their numbers for the rest of the season, it told a completely different story to that, to be honest. Their passes per defensive action, PPDA, is one of the highest in the league, second highest. So that says to me that they usually don't press that much. And it was just because it was against a QPR who was a team of similar stature to them that they felt that they could press a bit higher. So that to me would say that although Bullet would probably prefer to press more often, he is aware of the deficiencies that his squad has got. So he doesn't want to do it against teams who would be able to play through the press that he's able to put into place with the team at his disposal. So I don't expect them to be relatively pressy against us. At most, a mid-block, I'd say that they'll probably go for against us.
Hosty, which players do we need to look out for then?
Obviously the big lump, Etete, as has been mentioned, and in the next bit we'll get into why that is. But yeah, I think him and I would have probably said Aaron Ramsey as well, but he's apparently possibly injured for this game. The rest of Cardiff's players aren't really anyone I think to scream home about. I mean, obviously the right back, I think it's pronounced Ung. He has been in the Championship team of the week seemingly every week, and I've kind of made the jibe and joke that it's just because he's short on character, so it's easy to type. But so he must be doing something.
He fits
something
in the graphic,
right? Like
easier.
I said, I've not. Yeah, it just makes the graphic a bit easier when you've got a few more. Obviously, Joe Rawls does cause us issues. He seems to do quite often when he plays against Leeds. I don't think he does that against many other teams, but he seems to always pop up with something and against us. And I didn't notice that they'd signed Josh Bowler, actually, either. I'm guessing that's who the left winger is that we've got on here, who might play instead of Mate. And he was obviously expected to be half decent at one point. I think he's just kind of like a good championship winger. But I guess on his day, he can be a really good championship winger. And that's kind of what got him a move initially. So yeah, I guess they're the sort of players to look out for. I don't know much else about any players who might have bad days and we might be able to exploit. I'm assuming Martin might have a better idea.
Yeah, well, regards to the players, I didn't really see too much specific that we could exploit, but I would say that the weaker side of their fullbacks probably is the left back side. I think Perry Young, the right back, is a relatively good defender, and he can do well in 1v1 duels. So I would think the better side to attack would be the left-hand side, which I believe is Collins, who's on the left. So that would probably be the side that I think will be more prone to be attacked. But with our wingers, I don't think it should really matter too much. I don't see anyone there who should force our attackers too many issues when it comes to attacking. And going the other way, they've got a couple of good-level championship players, Joe Rawls and Ryan Wintle, are both decent for this level, but nothing which should worry us too much. And then they've got some injuries in more attacking areas. Ramsey, who you already mentioned, is injured. And also Callan Grant, who's another experienced championship player, is also injured at the moment. At least they were in the previous games. Well, I checked that things may have changed since then. So if Callan Grant does end up playing, or Ramsey, then don't blame me. I haven't seen the most recent press conference. But yes, that's about it I could really say about their players.
Hosty, what does the data say about Cardiff's season so far then?
So yeah, as we mentioned regarding Etete being the big lump danger, one of the key things that sticks out from Cardiff City's data this season is that they have XG of performance from set plays of, I think it's around about 8.5 goals. So I think they've put up 6.48 XG or something like that from set plays, and they've scored 15 goals compared to around about 18 XG from open play and 14 goals from there. So they obviously underperform quite heavily on that side. And then, I guess, so for us, that's a big danger. We've got to try and make sure that we're not conceding corners, not conceding free kicks. I think alongside Etete, who is, I think, 6 foot six, I think Martin was saying before we started recording, they've got a few centre-backs that are 6 foot three. So they've got like quite a few dangerous players from that area. So I think the data kind of obviously shows that we should be looking out to try and limit that, to try and limit set players in that way.
Anything you want to add to that, Martin?
I think that's the main interesting thing that I noticed in stats. There's nothing too special to note about their open play XG. They've created the seventh lowest, and they've underperformed that, scoring 14 goals from 18.86 XG. So not great from open play, but obviously a massive overperformance when it comes to set play XG. So that's definitely the area where I would say they will look to attack us. They will look to try to get set pieces and use their big boys to make something happen. And as Leeds fans know, we do have a bit of a historical problem with set pieces. At times this season, it's not been as bad, but against certain teams who will focus on set plays more. And also, it wouldn't surprise me if Cardiff have someone who can chuck a ball long. So it would be also throw-ins that we will probably have to worry about, because I think every championship side who focuses on set pieces would use a long thrower as well. There must be someone who can chuck the ball long. But yeah, so that, I think that's the main interesting thing that I noticed from the data as well.
Yeah, I guess the other interesting thing that I've just remembered as we were talking regarding their play style out of possession, and you mentioned obviously their passes per defensive action is the second lowest in the league, 0.17, and that's 0.2 behind Rotherham. But then what's really weird is that their high turnovers are 10th in the league with 187. But then of those 187, there's only 24 that are shot ending, which is the joint fourth lowest in the league. And then they've not scored one from those high turnovers. So it's like you said, it's kind of a, I think, Toldo, you called it right, of that maybe this is because they maybe tailor how they set up depending on the opposition. And so it's possible that obviously a lot of those high turnovers just happened in one game, potentially all happened in two or three games. They just really went for it in some of those games, and obviously nothing came from it. But then in other games, they've really kind of sat off and allowed a team to play around sort of thing with in the mid block or deep block that they might be in.
I think from memory, when we watched these Turkish teams, Martin, correct me if I'm wrong, they were fairly pressy, but I think so. Maybe that's like his preferred approach, but he just hasn't got the players to do that yet.
Yeah, that's correct. I remember the same thing from watching his Turkish side as well. They were, I think we said the Turkish Jesse Marsh, didn't we?
As a
joke. But yeah, I think that is probably his preferred approach. And if he had the players who were capable of doing that, I think that's probably what he would be doing. Or maybe he's tried it in certain games and it didn't really work that well. So he's realised that he had to adapt his system, which is good. It's good to see from a manager who don't stick to principles even when they aren't working. Jesse Marsh. But yes.
Can't wait to see his masterclass.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. I'm going to enjoy that. I just want John to get him on the T4 podcast. That would be fantastic. I don't think John would do it, though.
I did notice that the picture they put on Twitter was like them only showing half the board, but I don't know. I guess we'll find out if any of you watch the video, because I'm definitely not doing that. The last thing I'll note on data about Cardiff is we talked about their recent results earlier, but I've just had a quick look through the XG on those 10 recent results as well, and they've only won the XG battle once in those games, and it was 0.8 to 0.5 against Preston. And then the other one, there's only one draw in that as well, which was a 1.2 XG draw against Plymouth, and then all the others were losses. So, and I think they've only produced above one XG once, and that was against Plymouth. So it's not scary numbers at all. It's quite encouraging numbers, if anything, from those last 10 games.
But set pieces.
Yeah, I was just about to say set pieces. I think they've just got a few players who are really good at heading a ball, and so that's going to be the area that they will definitely focus on, because some players can turn league goals, which are historically very low scored efforts, into better than what they are. And I think that's something which this side seems to have, at least so far in the season.
Final bit on Cardiff then. So, Martin, do you want to take us through a predicted lineup?
Yeah, this is mainly a guess on some areas. The line seems pretty steady. They've had Anwick in goal, Perry Ung at right back, Gautas and McGuinness at centre back, Collins at left back. Then in midfield, they've been having Siopis in the deepest of the midfield roles. Then ahead of him with Rawls and Wintle. And then I think the attacking line will be some combination rather of Colwell on one side and either Bowler or Mate on the other side. And then up front will be Etete. I've gone with 4-3-3 in for this lineup, because that's the most recent one they've been using. But most of the season has been 4-2-3-1. However, in the opening game against us, they played a 3-4-3. It's the only game this season they've played a 3-4-3. So it would not surprise me if they do decide to go for 3-4-3, because it was relatively effective at the start of the season. So that wouldn't surprise me, especially with some of the difficulties we've had with breaking down three at the back formations recently. It wouldn't surprise me if they did go for 3-4-3 in this game to try to cause us more problems.
Maybe that was a tactic specifically for Lewis Sinisterra. So you never know.
It's possible.
Cool. I think that brings the end to the Cardiff analysis then, unless anyone's got anything else they want to add. Nope. Cool. Before we move on to the lead analysis, we're going to go for a quick ad break, but first I'll talk a little bit more about our patron. And if you are a patron already, don't worry, you don't have to listen to this bit. Patreon is a media platform where you can support content creators you enjoy, and you get extra content in return. Our patrons get access for as little as £1.99 per month, which gives you ad-free podcasts, and if you want to pay a little bit more, you get other benefits, including early access to our preview pods, such as this one that you're listening to now, analysis, articles, videos, and other bonus podcasts. The more people we get signed up, the more we can afford to have, the more we can afford, and we can get opposition fans on the pod to improve our previews, and we can do other bonus podcasts as well, like I said. Does one of you want to talk through the podcast you did a couple of days ago that I haven't listened to yet?
Yeah, sure. So me and Hossie had a good chat about a couple of issues we've been having with open play chance creation. So we went through a lot of the reasons why we think, or possible reasons why we could have been struggling in this period around Christmas, as to why during that 5-game period we did create so little XG from open play. We did create some from set pieces, but we were very much struggling to create in open play. And so we hadn't really had that issue earlier in the season. We've relatively been quite strong, so it was quite weird that it happened over a 5-game period. So we wanted to talk a bit more about that. And then the second part of the pod is mainly about January and what profiles we think could help with some of those issues and what other profiles the squad needs in general.
Along with some limitations of what January brings in a transfer window for what we think Leeds United might have.
Well, the stuff I'm actually planning to listen to that tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that one. But if you want to listen to that or just find out more about our Patreon, then Martin, where do they need to visit?
Patreon.com/ASAW. Patreon.
Excellent.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get back to the analysis then. So we'll talk about how Leeds might approach this game. So, Hosty, any injuries about this game? We did kind of mention one in the news, didn't we?
Yeah, I think obviously we mentioned that Pascal Strauss might be worse, but without worse than first thought, but without Daniel Farker's press conference, it's going to be pretty tough to say if there's been any new injuries. I guess the only thing is obviously we definitely won't have Spence, so or not even on the bench.
No, he might even be in the same country. So
exactly.
Martin, how do you think Leeds will approach this game in possession then? And do you expect anything different from what we normally see from Leeds?
I think it'll probably be quite similar to what we've been seeing for most of the season. I can't see there be any difference. Probably both in possession and out of possession, I think will probably be relatively similar. It is away from home, so we'll expect us to still dominate the ball even away. There have been some games where Cardiff have possessed the ball more, but it's not been against the top side like we are. So I don't expect kind of to hold onto the ball well against us. And regards to the, I'll move on to the out of possession as well while I'm at it, because also not a right lot different. The main thing will be probably a little bit less petty away from home like we usually are, but not a whole lot different, and maybe even a little bit pettier because of what I think is the difference in style between the two sides.
Hosty, would you agree on the out of possession side of that?
Yeah, and I guess like the only bit that could be slightly different is, for in possession, is if we do go back with Bamford again starting potentially, I think he brings that bit of difference that we can get from hold up play higher up in the pitch and battling against centre backs and stretching the defence in a different way, which I think we saw against Birmingham, and I didn't see the Peterborough game, so, and I don't know how much you can take from that, but yeah, I wonder if like there's a slight change of when we do have Bamford that we can just creating possession a little bit differently.
Yeah, and he's got that long shot threat as well, hasn't he? So they've got to look out for that one. Yeah. Hosty, is there a player you can see having a big impact on the outcome of this game from Leeds? And as always, this could be good or bad.
I think the one which I'm worried about, only because of the set pieces, is potentially, depending on what happens at with the defence, who we do line up with at left back and right back, whoever's available. Don't think Byram's going to be back for this game. And yeah, that means that Gray is probably going to be up against kind of like, or having to mark some big tall guys at from corners. And we've seen that he's not exactly maybe the best underneath. When we look at the Coventry goal that we conceded, he was obviously a little bit weak there. And yeah, so I guess that's something which could be an impact bad for Leeds. But I know that in possession he'll be fine and that sort of thing. I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried that set piece and how we'll defend that with the profiles that we've got, I guess.
Yeah, the one when we were doing the Cardiff analysis, and you talked about their left winger, whose name currently escapes me. Then, and when you said he was
Baller
like
and Mater, yeah,
yeah. When you said that they're both like higher level Championship wingers, I was just completely taken back to the Preston game. I think I'm just like scarred from driving to Preston on Boxing Day and watching Archie Gray be taken apart.
Sorry, I thought you said you had a good Christmas.
Yeah, it was good until Christmas was done. But yeah, it was like that just took me back. So I was a bit concerned about that. But then we're seeing Gray, whilst he looked like he was struggling with Jack Clark, deal with him pretty much fine for the rest of the game. So I don't know. It's something that's always in the back of my mind after those run of games we saw in December. Martin, is there anyone you might think have a big impact on this game from a lead side?
I think Gerard Rodon will definitely have a big part to play in this, especially with a big guy up front who's going to have his hands full with Atete. And we know that Rodon is good in the air, but he's given up quite a few inches over this guy. So that's definitely going to be something which could be an issue for us, for any centre-back really, who is giving up that much height on someone. It can be very difficult. But I would back Rodon to do well against him. I think he probably will be better off against more physical strikers, which is what Atete definitely is. And he's the one who I think, defensively at least, that we have to make sure that we have a good game. If he has a good game, I think we'll do quite well. And whoever is partnering him, same with Cooper, to be fair. He also does relatively well against physical defenders. We have to know his shortcomings when it comes to pace. But he generally does do a good job at getting a hold of centre-backs, and considering we don't have VAR in the league, he won't be giving away any penalties, shirt pulling. at least not as often anyway.
This is where now Liam Cooper gives away a penalty for shirt pulling from like a set piece.
Oh yeah. Bet on it now, Leeds fans. If you're able to bet on a Liam Cooper penalty giveaway with a shirt pull, then do it and thank me later.
We're not promoting gambling. If you do not want to bet, don't bet. That is at your own risk.
Yes, exactly. We do not promote gambling. And regards to the more attacking side of things, if Bamford does play, I think he'll be quite important in this game, especially if they have a back three system, because we'll need to be able to pull their centre backs around to create space for our other players to work in. So he will be very important to this one. And obviously, my boy Georgie Rutter will always be important to the way we play, and if he does well, we generally do well as a whole.
I think that it's a shame if Strauch doesn't play this one, because I think from this season he's been really good aerially. So I think he would have dealt with a massive lump up front very well. But yeah, I think Cooper, if he comes in and plays, he will probably be okay. But it's one of his strengths, let's say. I would agree. I think Rutter has quite a big part to play in this one, because I just think his ability to—he's not like a proper creative player, but like he's the one that you'd back to unlock a defense out of the Leeds team. So if we do see them sitting deep, then he'll be the one that you think will probably do it. And just while on Rutter, if you haven't checked out the chart that we put out on our Twitter today, then go and check that out, because it's literally just like. A full pizza chart where the whole thing is just a circle, which I've never seen before. So just go and check it out, because it's mad. Hoss, did you want to give us a predicted lineup for this one then?
I guess one talking point which we haven't touched on is obviously he's kept two clean sheets. So do we think there's a potential for Klaassen to start, or is Mez coming straight back in? I'm assuming Mez is coming straight back in. But I guess it's kind of a half topic of discussion that, you know, He might not, but I'm imagining that he will.
I think Melier comes straight back in. I think the Klaassen thing is, whilst he's been fine, I think it's a bit overblown, because he's had some pretty easy games.
He's had nothing to do.
Like, he's caught a ball, which Leeds fans seem to really like, people catching balls. So I think Melier comes back in. He's a much better keeper than Klaassen. It's not even a debate for me.
Yeah.
I agree.
Just one. I've just seen like some people kind of say it on Twitter. Yeah. So Melier, Archie Gray, and then Rodon and Cooper. Probably if we're saying that Strauch's injured, we're probably going to see Firpo at left back, I'm imagining, and then Ampadu, Kamara, Somerville, and James on the wings. And I think we're going to go with Bamford and Rutter again as your 9 and your 10. I think at the moment that's working quite well. I think like Rutter's doing really well, obviously, in that role as well, with the way he performed against Birmingham, and I think it's worth giving him a shot against a higher ranked team that isn't obviously one of like we've said, we're not entirely sure what sort of team Cardiff are. They're obviously ninth, so they're not doing terrible, but we played him, we tried him there against one of the lower ranked teams in Birmingham, so just build it up. You know, it's not like we're playing Leicester, so we don't have to risk it in that way. So yeah, I think I'd go Bamford and Routier for the 9 and 10.
I would as well. I think if you've got a confident Bamford, I think you play him. Especially against a team that's, whilst they're sort of mid-ish in the table, we should be beating comfortably.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people have been saying with Pirro this year that we kind of want to see him as more like a horses for courses approach to him rather than playing him every game, because there are games that suit him and games that won't, and there's games that suit Bamford and there's games that won't suit Bamford. So I think this is a game that I would say suits Bamford. And it's, if he's confident, and it's, I'd like to see what we saw against Birmingham. So yeah, I would stick with those two and see how it goes. You can bring Pirro, he's still a good player. Then you can bring him on if you need to and change it up. I would also agree with the rest of your lineup from what you've said. Would you as well, Martin?
Yeah, I think that's the lineup that it'll most likely be. And just touching a bit on Cardiff's position in the table, although they are ninth, the league is so close in that area of the table. I mean, from 8 to 17, there's 5 points. So it's really close along the middle of the pitch, like it always is in the Championship. The whole area is changeable. Anyone can finish anywhere at this point. So I think Cardiff, although they are relatively yeah. high at the moment, that's born off a very high performance from their set-piece XG primarily, because it would have scored a lot less goals if not for those goals, in my opinion. So yeah, although that could feasibly continue, it would be quite statistically unlikely for it to continue at the same rate. But however, I do still expect us to concede from a set-piece if we are to concede in this game.
I was listening to the Not the Top 20 podcast yesterday, and they were going through their prediction, like mid-season predictions, and the way they were talking about the teams that might make the playoffs in the Championships, and it just carried on going. Like, they went from fifth and they had to name like every team, pretty much down to Sheffield Wednesday, to see who might make the playoffs. So yeah, it's mad how close the league is. Martin, what do you expect watching this game of football will look like then?
I'd expect us to dominate most of the possession. Although Cardiff will have spells where they will possess the ball, and I'm hoping that we do a good job of pressing them and win the ball back in higher positions. That's something which we have struggled with against, I'd say, lesser opposition. It seems that we don't have too much trouble getting our press working in the bigger games. Albeit against Southampton, it was very bad. But since we sorted out the press after the Southampton game against Leicester, it was better. So, and but in other games where we've been playing against punts who we maybe underestimate a little bit in recent weeks, the press hasn't looked as good, so I'm hoping that it looks a lot better in this. It definitely should be able to cause some problems, because QPR press cause them problems. So if theirs can, there's no reason why ours can't. We've got a lot of fast players and capable pressers in our front line, especially if we've got Bamford playing. We've got a very capable line pressing unit with Dan James, Bamford, Routier and Somerville. All four of those players are very good pressers. Not very good. Bamford is the best of them all when it comes to pressing. However, all the rest of them are still good at pressing. So if we are able to press them, then we should be able to do well and turn over the ball in some situations. But I will bet them to go over it quite frequently to try to find their big guys up front early, so they can get the ball and knock it down and try to get it from wide area and then pop the ball into the box. So it's going to be a pretty traditional game again, like against a team who aren't going to want to give us too much space to move into. They won't take too many risks, I don't think, even at home. I don't think they will. I think they're the team who aren't afraid to dodge things up even in their own hometown. So yeah, that's how I think it's going to go.
What about you, Hosty?
Yeah, no, basically the same. I think we're probably going to see a lot of possession and then going to see Cardiff try and hit a long ball in attack when they get it and try and get forward and out-muscle our defenders, and then we're going to see them drop deep and be stodgy again whenever we get the ball. I think it's going to be down to how we can break them down, and that's why I think when using Bamford instead of Routier and Somerville as the outlets in this sort of game will probably help us.
And finally, where will this game be won or lost, Hosty?
Yeah, I think basically kind of like what I alluded to. If we've got Bamford and, you know, Rodon and Strauch, I think the centre-half forward battle between both teams is probably where it's going to be won and lost. I think if we can get the better of Atete and we can then have Bamford get the better of their centre backs, then yeah, you know, that's where I think we're looking at the game being won or lost.
And final word to you, Martin.
Yeah, I think I agree with what Hostie was saying there. Also, I think that it's going to come down to whether we can break down their unit and get a goal early in the half. I think the longer this game goes, the more difficult it's going to be for to get the win. And we don't want it to go that way. There have been games where Cardiff have given away a lot of XG to their opponent. And games like against Norwich, they gave away 3.4 XG and conceded 3 goals. Against Ipswich, 2.7. Southampton 2.5, Middlesbrough 2.2, Watford 2. So there's a lot of teams who are good sides in that. So it is something that other teams haven't had too much of an issue creating against them. So I'm hoping that we can continue that and do the same. But if we aren't able to, and our recent issues with chance creation come back, then it may look a bit bad for us.
Lovely stuff. So that brings to end the Cardiff preview. Just a quick reminder that the website for our Patreon is patreon.com/ASAW Patreon. We will be back potentially on Saturday with a Twitter Spaces, so keep an eye out for that. If we can get a couple of guys to have a look at the lineup and just do a quick preview before the game, we'll do that. But if not, we will definitely be back next week with a review of this game. But until then, I will say thank you to Martin.
Thank you, Sue Tom.
Thank you to Hosty.
Thank you very much, Stalder.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.